I'd like to open our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Great. A little bit of technical difficulty. It was my fault. My apologies, brethren. Usually I don't speak with PowerPoint. This morning, we'd like to read a verse in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and we'll read verses 19 and 20. This is called the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen." I'll repeat those words. "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Each gospel terminates with the Great Commission. In Mark's Gospel, the writer says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 46 and 47 says, "It is written, and it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And John's Gospel is a very condensed version. "Then Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." I put up the bridge illustration in the beginning. I wish I had thought this through a little bit more. Like I said, I don't usually work with PowerPoint. But on your left, you have man on this side. "The wages of sin is death" is a verse we find in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. On the right-hand side of the illustration, you have God, and you have a great separation. And usually this bridge illustration is given with an empty space in the middle. And the idea of this empty space is in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "But your sins and your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God." Okay? So there's a separation. God is on one side, and God is holy, and you are on the other side, and you are sinful. And you can never reach over to God. There was a man back, I would say, about 40 years ago. I'm just guessing by memory. I think it was 5 years ago, but everything seems a lot farther back. You know what I mean, Greg, right? His name was Evel Knievel. And Evel Knievel, he was a motorcycle. He was a daredevil. And he had this here stage name, Evel Knievel. And he had a plan to jump across the Grand Canyon. And they built the ramp, and there was all the headlines day after day after day. And Evel Knievel, he was there, and all the cameras were focused on him. And he goes up, and he shoots up this ramp, I don't know how many 100 miles an hour. And the idea was to reach over to the other side. Evel Knievel knew he was going to fail. Do you know how I know that? Because Evel Knievel had a parachute on his back. Okay? But he made lots of money. And you say, well, it was a pretty big risk because, you know, if that parachute might not have opened, you know, and he was driving a motorcycle and he could have got hurt when he landed on the bottom of the canyon, things like that. But I wanted to tell you this morning, there's a great separation between you and your God. And the only way across that separation, the Lord Jesus Christ bridged that gap. The Bible says Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners. And the only way that you can get over to God is by repenting. By saying, Lord, I realize I'm a lost, guilty sinner. I deserve your punishment, and I deserve to go down to hell. And if you trust Christ as your personal Savior, you can have eternal life this morning. Now listen, I want to tell you, even if there was a parachute for you, and you try as hard as you can to get over to where God is, that parachute's going to take you down to the bottom, and I don't have it illustrated here, but there's flames on the bottom of this. That's what happens to the sinner. He goes down, 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 and even if he goes very slowly, there's nothing good down there waiting for you. These verses I've read this morning, I'm going to use something that the navigators use. This is some navigator stuff that I'm using this morning. Some people are familiar with it. I think it's good to take a look at this stuff, because when a person becomes a Christian, how does a person grow? We'll go to the next slide, okay? I've got one up there anyway. That's good. Good start. The obedient Christian, how does a Christian grow? Well, if you look at this, it's called the navigator circle, the navigator wheel. You will see two spokes going up and down and two spokes going to the side. Well, if you look at the bottom spoke, okay, that is God speaking to us, okay? So first God speaks to us. And then the spoke going up, that's us speaking to God. So the first one is us reading God's word. And then the second one is us speaking to God in prayer. And then you have two spokes going out, one side and the other side. So one spoke going out is fellowship. And that's what people are doing this morning. They're meeting with other Christians. Downstairs, we've had coffee together. Some people were talking about the hockey game last night. Other people were talking about Bible verses. And other people were talking about their Christian life and things that are happening in their Christian life. That is true fellowship, okay? When we talk about the hockey game, that's friendship, okay? That's the difference. The fellowship has the idea of a spiritual involvement. And then the other spoke is witnessing, and that's when we reach out to people that do not know Jesus as their personal Savior. The Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 says, "Go therefore." Why does it have the word therefore? Verse 19 is the Great Commission, because God is speaking to us. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was commanding his disciples. But you have to go back to verse 18 to find out why we have the therefore. He says, "Go therefore." Why? In verse 18 it says, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore." So the Lord is saying, go therefore. I know Riley is going down to Bolivia. Where's Riley? Is she here? Put up your hand. Oh, there she is. Okay. She's going down to Bolivia. Okay. In February, I'm going down to Belize. Okay. In April, I'm going down to El Salvador. Oh, incidentally, I almost forgot this. I want to thank all those that came out to the Christmas concert. We raised funds for the kids in El Salvador. We sent $700 American, which translates into $1,027. So thank you very, very much for the people that performed. Everybody performed free of charge. Jesse wanted $100, but I said, no, I said, this is for the kids, okay? So thank you very much for all those that performed. And thank you for the ladies that worked in the kitchen, those that put the chairs up and those that took the chairs down and those that bought tickets, because your money is really appreciated and is sent down to the children, for the children in El Salvador. Speaking of that, if one day Riley is going down for a quick visit, okay, a couple of weeks, that's what you're going down for, 2 or 3 weeks, okay? But what happens if in 5 years' time Riley says, I was down there 5 years ago, and I have a burden for the people in Bolivia. I would like to be commended as a missionary. What would you teach the people down there? Well, you say, well, back in Charlottetown, you know, you go into a place and you plant a church, and then you say, well, what am I going to teach the people down there? What are we supposed to do? Well, back in Charlottetown, this is what we do, and we did this, and we did this, and we did this. That's not going to sit well. You say, well, listen, we're doing things pretty good here, but listen, you can't tell the people in Bolivia we're doing things this way because that's the way they do them back home. You have to be able to go to the Bible and you have to teach them from the Word of God the reason we're doing different things. We're going to look at some of those things this morning. I'll go to the next illustration. And the hand. And this is the word hand. They call it the word hand. And I spoke about this in the very beginning. God is speaking to us. That's where it all starts. And why does it start there? Why doesn't it start with prayer? Why doesn't it start with witnessing? Why doesn't it start with fellowship? Why does it have to start with the Word of God? Because if you're going to teach people, you have to read God's Word to find out what you're going to teach them. If you're going to pray for something, you have to read God's Word to find out how to pray, and so on. If you're going to have fellowship, you have to find out what God's desire for us is. And I want to go through some of these things. So the first way to hear the Word of God, okay? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this morning, even without opening your Bible this morning, you get out of bed, you went and had your breakfast, and you got cleaned up, and you came here. Many of you maybe didn't even open your Bible, but already I read out of the Bible when you were sitting in the breaking of bread. Different brothers read out of the Word of God, and you heard, okay? You heard the Word of God. And then the second idea is hearing. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed is he that reads and he that hears the word of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Paul says to Timothy, give attendance till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So there's the second thing. I want to think about reading. There was a brother out in Vancouver. He was from Washington State. He said in his little assembly down in Washington, the whole group would come together once a year, and they would start out on Friday night, and they would read the Bible all through the night until the next day. Different brothers and sisters, it was just an informal meeting. They would come, and they would open up the Bible, and maybe Leonard would get up, and he'd say, okay, we're going to read the first 12 chapters of Matthew. Or the New Testament. They'd read the New Testament. And then somebody would say, well, I'll read two chapters. I'm a little bit shy. I'll just read two chapters. And somebody else would come and they'd read another five chapters. And they'd go through the whole New Testament on Friday night until Saturday. Some people, there was no pressure put on anybody. If you can come for an hour, if you can come for 2 hours. But they would read. Some of them would be there the whole time and they would read through the whole New Testament in one day. There was one sister in the Ladner meeting. She read through her whole Bible in 3 months. Okay, people say, how did you do that? She was a young believer, a brand new, she was hungry. What does Peter say? He says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And then another thing to do is to study. Paul says to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul, when he was talking about the believers in Berea, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that when they received the word with all readiness of mind, they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. So young men, young women, do you have a time set aside each week where you study the word of God? That's a question. I want you to answer that in your heart. Have you decided, okay, on Monday nights, I'm going to set aside an hour. Don't say I'm going to set aside 4 hours. You know, some people are going to Bible school here, and there's other kids that are saying, I wish I could go to Bible study, but I can't go because I don't have the money and I have to work. But listen, you're not studying the Bible now. Why do you want to go to Bible school? You know, take an hour a night or 2 hours a night. Say, I'm going to study. Monday night is my study night. That's something you can put aside this year. And then another thing that we're supposed to do, or we should do if we want to grow, is to memorize. Okay, I'm going to start to read a verse, and I know that a bunch of you are going to be able to repeat it, or be able to finish it for me. Thy word have I hid in my heart that... Now, how did they all do that? There was nobody over here. Why was it all these people over there? What? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So they have memorized, they've hidden the word of God in their heart. Okay? There's another verse in Colossians that says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The example of Jesus, when he was in the desert, when he was being tempted, he answered Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by... So this is amazing. And then the last one here is meditation. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And Leonard is going to be speaking about that on Wednesday night, right, Leonard? So that's in chapter, they said, that's in Psalm 1. Paul says to Timothy, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. In Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. The psalmist said, I will meditate upon your precepts. What does meditation mean? This is a lost art. I was talking to a brother the other day, and he said, I study the Bible a lot. I really like to study, but I don't do much meditation. And I said, well, as a young believer, I can say that I didn't do a lot of meditation either. I would read and I would study like him. And as you get older, you start to sort of, you have time and you want to sort of meditate and think about these things. And I was reading in 1 Samuel, and I'm reading about Hannah, and she's up there praying, and she's praying for her son. And I'm reading this portion through, and I'm thinking, something's really strange in this portion. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but you know why? He's talking about the temple. And the temple is mentioned three times, and the house of the Lord is mentioned three times. And I'm thinking, the temple. And everybody's saying, so what? The temple wasn't built then. The temple wasn't built until we get over into 1 Kings. So you've read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, and then the temple was built by Solomon. So what existed back then? The tabernacle. Well, the temple and the tabernacle are two different things. So I'm just saying, it's good to meditate upon these things. And if you don't understand them, you say, listen, Jock, what do you think of this? You know, I'm a little bit foggy on this. Leonard, what do you think of this? And start asking a few people about some of these things. Now we go to the next slide. And we come to the prayer hand. So I said the first one, God is speaking to us. This one, we're speaking to God. The first one is confession. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is confession? Okay, when I was a little boy, I would go into a box and I'd say, I confess to you, Father, and to Almighty God above, and so on. But what was the whole idea of confession? I walked into that box and I walked out of that little room the exact same. I said the things I was doing wrong, but I was not sorry for those things. Say, I see Jock over here. I want to give you an illustration, okay? I say to Jock, Jock, you're stubborn. You just don't think. And I start saying all these things to him, okay? And then the next day I come up to Jock and say, hey, Jock, I got a favor. Can I borrow your car? And he said, the way you treated me yesterday? Well, what? Well, I did say you weren't very smart, and I did say you were stubborn. What's he waiting for? He's waiting for me to say, I'm sorry. And then he might dangle the keys. Okay? So this whole idea of confession is not just saying what you did. It's saying, Lord, I was wrong. And that's where repentance comes in. Okay? So if we confess our sins, Proverbs says 28 and 13 says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes. Did you notice those two words go together? Confess and forsake. Means I've done something wrong, Lord, I'm struggling with this sin, and now, Lord, I want to stop it, I want to give it up because I know it's wrong. And then we have the word petition. And the idea of petition, usually this is a physical request. We go back to 1 Samuel where I was reading,
For this child I prayed, the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. Give us this day our daily bread. So we're good at that part of prayer. We're not so good at the first part of confession. John 5 and 15 says, we know that if he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And then the next one is very important. It's intercession. It's praying for others. Okay, if you look in the church bulletin every week, there's a list of prayer needs. And some of those, they're pretty serious. Some of our brothers and sisters, they have health issues and so on. We were praying for Sharon. Okay, I almost you better pray for my memory, okay? Okay, we're praying for Heather, okay? These are serious needs we're praying for. We're praying for Jerry, okay? These were needs, okay? We're praying for others. We're not thinking about ourselves. We're not, okay? So the first one, help me to get good grades, that's petition. That's for you. But when we pray for Jerry, that's intercession. And then Paul says, I exhort therefore. So this is a command, okay? This is something Paul is telling us to do. I exhort therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we should be praying for Trudeau. We should be praying for Mr. McLaughlin. We should be praying for our leaders. Okay? Why? So that we have liberty to express the gospel, to live Christian lives. We're not running and hiding and trying to sneak into the church like they do in China. We have a freedom to live for the Lord. And then thanksgiving. That's one thing that we all try to do as parents, to teach our children to be thankful. And how many times did you have to tell your children, David? Okay? Somebody gives them a candy, say thank you. Okay? We taught them that at home, but they forget. As soon as they get that candy in their hand, they're just all excited and the thank you goes out. Well, we're like that too. Sometimes we forget to thank the Lord for the blessings that we have. And then praise. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, the fruit of our lips that acknowledges his name. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. So I want to think, we'll go to the next slide again. I want to think about fellowship. And that's not a very profound picture. Acts chapter 2, I'll look at those verses 41 and 42. And this is familiar territory. Nobody will say, Wayne, I never heard that before, I'm sure. And if you have never heard this before, I'm very disappointed if you've been a Christian for any time. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So first, trusting Christ, receiving his word, realizing you're a lost, guilty sinner, realizing you deserve God's punishment, and then trusting Jesus as your personal Savior. Then that they gladly received his word were baptized. Are there people here this morning that are Christians and they're not baptized yet? Well, in our church, you have to be 20 years old before you get baptized. Is that what the brothers say here? Is that what your friends say? You have to be 20 years old? No. What's the requirement? That you are actually born again, that you're actually saved, that you know that you have your sins forgiven. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So then people were added to the local church. So some have been baptized, but they're not part of the local church. You're not what some people would call a member. You're not actively participating. You have no responsibility, and some people like that. Well, I like to be baptized, but I don't want to be part of the church because they might ask me to do something. You know, and I don't want to do anything. I want to be a spectator. Then we get down in verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and prayers. So I mentioned this in the beginning, this idea that fellowship has the idea that we have a common relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And this could be manifested in different ways. It could be manifested by enjoying a meal together. You invite somebody over to your house. You know, there's a big difference between inviting an unbeliever to your house and a believer to your house. What's the difference? Well, we were going to think about having some people over, and we're thinking, how do we word this? You know, it's Christmas time, because, you know, some of my unbelieving friends, Christmas time, what does that mean? That they're going to come over to the house and they're going to bring a 26-ouncer. That's what they want to do. So I have to sort of clarify that ahead of time. Listen, we're coming over to have some fellowship, okay? We're going to have a time of eating. We're going to have a time of singing, but there's not going to be any booze, okay? Sorry to offend you, but that's not what we're going to be doing that night. So yeah, I want to sort of clarify things. So you mean, well, am I going to be bored there? Well, if you like food, you're not going to be bored. You know what I mean? If you like music, you're not going to be bored. If you like intelligent conversation, you won't be bored. But if you're looking for a bottle, you're going to be bored, because there's not going to be any bottles there. There's going to be Christian fellowship. The speaker, Fred Cawson, was here a couple of months ago. He spoke on the one another verses of the New Testament. And all those one another verses, this has to do with the fellowship that Christians enjoy. Praying for one another, encouraging one another, loving one another. Thessalonians 5:11 says, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you were doing, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day appearing. On Thursday mornings, there's some men that gather together to have a time of prayer. Now, that's a fellowship time for us. We're praying for one another, and we find out, what that person is actually like. You start to find out their needs, their likes and their dislikes, and what's going on in their own personal life. And you're able to lift them up. You're able to encourage them. So these are some things that we should be doing. And then we'll go to the last diagram, the next diagram. The same illustration that we started out with basically in the beginning, but this illustration here is teaching how you take one word. This verse up here is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And you see them over on this side, and you see man on this side. The wages of sin is death. So what you start to do, if you want to share the gospel with someone, how are you going to say, listen, if you just come to my church, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. Do you ever read the obituary column? Maybe that's something that old people do. You know, last week I went to two wakes in one day, you know, and that's part of getting older and so on. And it's interesting looking at this, and everybody dies. The wages of sin is death. You know, you say, well, I'm only 20 years old. Well, if you read the obituary column, sometimes I'm surprised, wow, that person died at 45. That person died at 23. If there's any high school students here, is there anybody died in your high school this year? Christy, has anybody died in your high school this year? Yeah, in high school. So that means under 18 years of age. People are dying at that age, you know? So there's no guarantee that we have 80, 90. You know, PEI probably is some of the longest living people in Canada, I think, you know? But that doesn't mean you're going to get there. You know, especially we're driving in this winter season, it's a little bit more dangerous, isn't it? So what is a witness? A witness is someone that has seen something and heard something. Maybe they saw a car accident. Maybe they saw an armed robbery. Maybe they saw an earthquake. And you see the news station, they get on there and they get the man with the microphone, they're holding it and they're doing the interview, and what happened? And then they start describing all the events. And I want to think back on my own life. I was about 20, 21 years of age. I was a butcher. My brother and I, we used to work every Monday night together. And he started telling me, he said, I started going out to some gospel meetings. And some young men will get up and they will tell how they got saved. They will tell their testimony. And I've even heard that word, testimony. And they're explaining that they were lost in their sins and they were troubled and they didn't have peace and they didn't know where they're going. And when they heard the gospel preaching, the preacher was talking about a place called heaven where God lives in all his holiness and his purity, and that sin could not enter in there, and so that they had a big problem. And then the preacher talked about a place called hell where there was torment and there was weeping and there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it says where their worm doesn't die. And, you know, I mean, I remember as a little kid walking along and I'd find an animal on the side of the road, and as little boys like to do, whenever you see a dead animal, what do? You look around for a stick. And when you get that stick, what do? You have to flip the animal over. And what do you see? All this movement where their worm dies not. They were very vivid illustrations for me. So I remember my brother telling me, and my brother, he wasn't a Christian, and he was a hard guy, and he was a blasphemer, and he had all kinds of sin in his life. But he could see something real, that these young men, they had been changed, they'd been transformed. And this is what happens. They realized that one day, because of their sin, they were going to die. And they wanted to be where God is, because there's no more crying, there's no more pain, there's no more suffering. Look around in the world. You know, the atheist's biggest complaint against God is, why does God permit all this suffering? The atheist can see all the suffering. But I'll tell you one thing, they don't have any hope, they don't have any remedy. But us that are saved, we realize that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said, of whom I am the chief, or I'm the worst. And then he said, I thank God. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for giving himself for me. He loved me and he gave himself for me. And by him admitting he was a lost, guilty sinner, and by putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he was able to walk across to the other side. There is a big gap in the middle. But what does it say? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I just want to leave it there. I want you to think about some of these things that we spoke about this morning. I spoke about the Word of God. That's something we should be doing, opening our Bibles, reading our Bibles on a daily basis. We should be spending time in prayer. We should be speaking to God, communing with Him. We should be spending time in fellowship with one another. That happens on Friday nights with the young people. They get together and they have a time of fellowship. On Thursday nights, the college and career group get together and they have a time of fellowship. On Wednesday night, the prayer meeting, there's a group of people that get together and they study the Word of God and they have fellowship. You know, when that clock hits 7:15 or 8:15, you know, maybe 8:20, and people get up, you know, somebody closes in prayer, you know, there isn't a mad dash for the door. You know, there's people hanging around and hanging around. I'd say some of these people are here at least a half an hour after the meeting. Why? Because they enjoy each other's company. It's not a prison system getting in here and just trying to get out the door. We enjoy each other's presence because we've been redeemed. We have brothers and sisters that we love and that love us, and it's good to be in that kind of fellowship and communion. And then we have the fellowship, but we must not forget to be reaching out to others to explain them that, yes, God loves them. Just like someone spoke to me. Somebody spoke to me 42 years ago, and they explained to me that, yes, Jesus even loved Wayne Gindon with all his sin, and he sent his son to die for me. And someone told me that, and I'm thankful for the people that told me that. So tell someone else, give them the best gift that they could ever have, that the Lord Jesus Christ loves them and can change their lives too. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for the Word of God. We're thankful that as we have the Word of God in our hands, we're a privileged people. Some countries, they don't have this. And some, just because of economic difficulties, they couldn't even afford a Bible. And some places, the Bible is prohibited. And meeting together is prohibited. Father, we're thankful for being blessed living in this country. Father, help us to share what we have with others. We give thanks now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.